Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk a little bit more about business and entrepreneurship and just give some tips that I've learned. We're going to be doing a bit of a series over the coming months around this. I'm really excited about helping more dyslexics get into entrepreneurship, improving their business skills. You know, I've coached in it in the past, haven't done it for many years just due to physical time and work I'm doing. But I found someone who's going to be great, who I will introduce in the coming period of time. But I just want to share some tips. If you're in business, if you're thinking of creating a side hustle, I just want to share some learnings. I like to do this because it reminds me of these learnings. And so let's dive into today's episode. Okay, let's talk business. I was thinking this morning I wanted to do an episode where I could just riff off the top of my head about something I love and helping neurodiverse thinkers with dyslexia, ADHD, etc., and talking about business and entrepreneurship. It's just my jam. Like, I know that's probably an 80s reference there, but it's kind of what excites me. It's what gets me energized. And I can just talk on the topic forever because it's awesome. You know, business, the benefit I think of business in the world for those with dyslexia is it's kind of like a giant creative chessboard. You know, it's a game that's sitting there, but you can choose how you play the game. And when I say chess, I've probably made it a bit too small, but imagine a much more complex virtual world where there are certain rules around the place, but there's also so much room to be creative and different and stand out. And that's what I love about business. And I love how as you learn different techniques and tools and as you connect with other people and build people into a business, you get to create, I don't want to say an organism, that's the wrong word, but you get to create something that's bigger than yourself. And it's also something that's not solely run by yourself, which is really cool because realistically, if you think about a job, that pretty much is something that's 100% run by yourself. It's either you're doing the job or you're not doing the job. Whereas a business, if I take a week off or if I need a couple of days because I've moved house, seems to be a very big theme of this podcast at the moment, is something happens, my business still goes. The wheels keep spinning. We keep earning some income, you know. And so that's a pretty cool thing to build. It's also something that takes time, which is not always our speciality. And I remember in my early years of being a dyslexic entrepreneur, what a fantastic word that is for us. I used to be so good at starting businesses when I had a heap of energy at the start to get something off the ground. I kind of think of it as I could take a business, get it flying within 3 months. But I was so used to holding on to everything that I was never very good at handing it off when it needed to be handed off. And I would just get bored as anything. And so as I got more and more bored, I just kind of would jump out the plane and let the plane sometimes continue with a few bumps, or more often than not, it would crash or it would land somewhere in a field, never to be seen again. And so as a dyslexic business owner, entrepreneur, I had so many different business cards from things I started and didn't finish. It just, you know, it was just the truth of how I worked. I could always see the vision of what I needed to create. And some of those visions were fantastic. You know, I've done things like hiring virtual staff members from overseas and helping them, you know, work virtually for obviously, oddly, dyslexic entrepreneurs more often than not to help them be their PAs. I've had web design agencies, which is probably the one I love the most. I'm very proficient at it. I started it was called eForms back in the day when digital processing was coming out. I saw a real opportunity there. I've done apps. We did explainer videos and all in the digital space. Just heaps of different things. At one point I tried to run a concert. So many different things I've started and just didn't finish. And it's probably the biggest lesson to learn if you're getting into something is to realize that whatever you try and do will take 2, 3, 4 times as long as you imagine. If you think it's going to take, I'll have this business done in a year, it's going to take you 3 to 4 years. If you have that in your mind's eye, you're more accurate and you'll have a better expectation of how long things take. Because I definitely didn't when I first started. I really thought I had some magical power where I could increase the speed of business growth overnight. That was pretty back in the day. So, you know, setting those realistic expectations, whatever you're doing, is brilliant. And also being able to keep going with something, even when it gets tough. Like, that's the key thing, is having some support around you. You know, when it comes to me in relationships, I've always been up and down with women until I've met my wife. And so I was always on this emotional roller coaster up until, say, 34. And so I never had that stability at home. So I struggled to have stability in work, because it kind of, in my opinion, as I've learnt more with all of this life thing, this thing called life, you know, having that stability makes a massive impact on your business and what you're doing. When you don't have to rush, you don't rush as much. And so, like, that's been a really big lesson as well, is that setting those realistic expectations, getting some sort of stable backing, having, for example, at the moment, my wife being there, if I have to ask her questions or pick her brain or just share what's on my mind, has been a huge help going forward. And also, you know, the thing to realize as well is, you know, when I first started out, the ego side of myself really wanted me to be successful so that I could show off, is probably the word, and so I could feel better about myself or who I was, or use it as a supplement to my self-worth. And over time, as I've done more meditation, as I've done more self-discovery, as I've dug a bit deeper, I've kind of learned that none of that really matters. And so the more I can, like, I'm not ego-driven in business anymore, it just doesn't exist. I still want to do well and look after people, but it's not about me being something for someone else. It's about me being me for who I am and doing what I want to do. Now, does that mean I get lost sometimes? Of course, but, you know, having that recognition and that realization and having those, you know, the people around me to keep me in check has been super helpful. Because we don't have to be these super special people that create the next $100 billion business, the next unicorn. You know, a lot of us kind of set out with that view, where you can have a, like, in this day and age, you can have a very successful $500,000 a year turnover business, you know, with 5 or 6 years, you know, taking it as a guess, could be anywhere 3 to 5 to 6, whatever period of time, year business, which can deliver that to you every year, which is pretty cool when you think about it. Like, that is realistic. If you can hold yourself to something, if you can find the right need, if you can stick with it long enough without changing things, because that's the other killer, over-engineering. See that a huge amount in business owners, where you keep engineering something even though it's not broken. Like, you keep fixing something or a product where people want to buy it, but they can't buy it because you keep fixing and changing it. And so no one can get it to a certain point. So, like, things like that, like, working out how to play with your neurodiverse mind and have it work for you rather than against you is so vital when it comes to business, because it's the biggest, it's the thing that will make you lots of money and help a lot of people, but it's also the thing that will hold you back and stop you from making money. Does that make sense? It's kind of like your best friend and your worst enemy. And I think, like, if I'm honest, the mission of a business owner who is neurodiverse is to get control of their mind is the number one priority. You know, you always talk about these entrepreneurs that have made all this money and then they go on to sell courses. And the biggest thing they say is, I spent $100,000 on my mind. And it comes across a bit wanky, and these people a lot of the time haven't quite hit that getting past the ego part of their life. But it's true, right? Like, part of it's true, is you've got to continue to invest in your mind, your thinking, your way of life, to actually be able to take those next steps. It's super important. It's a must. Because without that, you can't get past what you know today. And the slow progression can be killer. You know, and it's, you know, I always chat to people who go, I'll never resent what's got me to where I am today, because I needed all of that to get me to where I am today. And in part, that's 100% correct. And, like, I don't ever live in regret. But it doesn't mean that looking forward, I haven't learned that if I learn better, I can move faster and I can stop kicking myself in the shins. You know what I mean? Like, just to say that and kind of equal it out, like you've got to keep learning to become better so you're not doing the same mistakes. And it's like I've seen people make so many mistakes the same because they're not actually getting over the hurdles. It's painful. It's painful. And it's like you can justify it in your head as long as you like as a business owner, but until you actually break through, you can, and there's been multiple times in my life that I've said, if I just asked for help earlier, I would have gotten past this giant painful hurdle a lot quicker instead of continuing to hurt myself, because I'm no angel. I'm learning this like everybody else in the school of life. You know, majority of us dyslexics or the neurodiverse around, we learn in the school of life from experience, from getting hurt, getting back up, getting hurt, getting back up. It's pretty much our school system for us. And so if you're in business, maybe you're starting out, and maybe you're just getting into it. Biggest lessons, as I said in this podcast, take time. Don't rush. I know this is easier said than done, but I realize that is the skill you need to adopt to get it working, because only over time and slowing down do you start to see momentum, because momentum is your hidden friend that's following you around. And when you're only in a business for a year, it doesn't have time to really build any momentum. The little snowball that's coming down the mountain is very, very small in a year. But after year two, that snowball's doubled. Year three, that snowball doubles again. And it just keeps doubling every year. And so the longer you're in the business, the bigger the snowball. And like when your goal is to fill a giant snow bucket at the bottom of the mountain, having a giant snowball coming down every year really helps you fill that bucket. You know, and that's the thing I've learned, is that I'm in a point in my career where I've got that snowball bucket. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a super rich, super crazy person, but not crazy. That's interesting. I'll go to my psyche about learning that one. But, you know, I'm not someone who's got money for the sake of money, but I do all right. And I've got a bit of time because I have built a business that works with that in mind. And so it's really important to just remember that. And so that's what I wanted to share, guys. I just wanted to just to kind of riff a bit about that. I will be doing a few more podcasts on business again because I'm really enjoying it and I want to talk more about it. So if you know anyone who's a neurodiverse entrepreneur, get them involved, get them hearing, send me your questions in. Love hearing from all of you. Have an epic rest of your day.